Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 24. 1 Samuel, chapter 24. We'll read verses 7 through 14 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel, chapter 24, verses 7 through 14. 1 Samuel, chapter 24, verses 7 through 14. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave, and went on his way. David also arose afterward, and went out of the cave, and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth, and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee to thee in mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in mine hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe, and killed thee not, knowest thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee. Mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. We stand before hundreds of people that have worked hard this week. They've labored. Many have spent extra many hours working with our kids' crusade, and hundreds saved there. We're tired people. The Lord sure is good to be here. Thank you for our preacher. Now, Father, please fill him with your power. Give us what we need tonight. We're a needy people. Fill our preacher with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I announced this evening's sermon title. If you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. If you would like to accomplish a little more than average with your life, I think this evening's sermon may motivate you to do so. A little concept that will help you if you want to be productive, if you want to make sure that ingratitude is not a part of your life, I think I can help you. King Saul hated David. Matter of fact, he became possessed with a hatred for David. What had happened is King Saul was the big shot in town. David went out and he won some victories, and some ladies in town began to sing a song about King Saul and King David. And as these ladies began to sing, they said, Saul hath slain his thousands, but David hath slain his ten thousands. And so as a result of that, Saul became jealous of David, though Saul was still the king. Saul was still the big man on the block. Saul was still a powerful man, but Saul became possessed with a hatred for David. He actually said, I will smite David even to the wall. Saul said, let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Of course, the Philistines being the enemy. Saul said, and he spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Saul became David's enemy, the Bible says, continually. It says, and driven by his fury and his hatred, Saul was, the Bible says, searching throughout all the thousands of Judah for David. Here Saul was, the mighty king, in this perpetual, continual search for little old David. Tell you the story that we read here from 1 Samuel 24. The great warrior Saul had been out warring with the Philistines, the enemy. He was on his way home and maybe even reached home. And he was told that David was hiding in the wilderness called En-Gedi.
Saul took 3,000 of his soldiers and he said, I'm going to go find him. And these 3,000 soldiers, under the direction of Saul, went out into the wilderness to search out for little David and his band of men. David and his men hid in a cave. They were hiding in the back part of that cave or off to the side in that cave where no one could see them. And Saul decided he would go into that cave and he would rest. Saul went in. The Bible says he covered his feet and Saul took a little nap. Now, understanding David and his men are inside that cave. Saul is out to kill David and despises David and is hunting David and taking every chance he can to try to find David. And now Saul is laying down. He's inside that cave. He's asleep. And David and his men are surrounding Saul, if you will, back in the shadows. And if they wanted, if David wanted, he could now kill King Saul. But David did not. David took out his pocket knife and he snuck up to where Saul was asleep and cut off a little portion of the fringe of the garment that Saul was wearing. So he could prove that he had been there. He had a chance to kill Saul, but he didn't want to because Saul was the anointed of God. And he was in charge, and that's how God wanted it at that time, and David knew it. Later on, these two men end up talking about that incident. David is able to say, you know, I cut off the portion of the hem of your garment while you were there. You know what Saul said? Saul said in verse number 24, in his own words there, he said, you're a better man than I. What did that mean? Saul, what that meant was Saul said, if I would have had a crack at you, buddy, I would have killed you because I've been out to get you. But David had a little more self-control than that. Now that's the story, but I want to read something to you that's found right in the midst of it all. Right after that occurred, the Bible says this, after whom is the king of Israel come out? The Bible's what it's saying is here, after what? Or after who is the king chasing? It says, after whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Bible says in the verse prior that there was an ancient proverb. That ancient proverb says, what in the world is a king doing chasing a flea? Chasing a flea? David, in this instance, was virtually a flea in the kingdom. Saul was at the top of the totem pole. Saul was the CEO of the nation at this time. Saul was the president. Saul was the big dog, if you will. I want you to think of the greatness of Saul for a moment. A king who the Bible says was a choice young man. A king who stood head and shoulders above every man in Israel. He was a very tall, stately man. Matter of fact, he was so tall and so stately. They talk about it through the Bible, about how tall and big and powerful Saul looked. He was a king who was kingly in his appearance. He was a king who was best friends with a mighty prophet named Samuel. He wore the garments of royalty, and he wore them with great dignity. He held the king's scepter with a mighty and powerful forearm. A king with more power than any other human being alive at this time. Saul, a king that had an entire country following him. Saul, a king with an army at his beck and command. And what in the world at this time in his life is this powerful, bombastic, second to none leader doing? Bible says he's out chasing a flea. Chasing a flea? See, the biggest thing going on in Saul's life was not little David. But for some reason, Saul made it the biggest thing when it didn't need to be and it shouldn't have been. He was wasting opportunity while chasing a flea. He was prostituting his authority while chasing a flea. He was floundering his energy while chasing a flea. He was cheapening his royalty while chasing a flea. He was dishonoring his majesty while busy chasing a flea. He was weakening his power because of chasing a flea. He was blinding his vision by chasing a flea. He was crippling his productivity. Why? Because he needed to chase a flea. He was poorly investing his wealth while chasing a flea. He was wasting his life on chasing a flea. He was eroding the time that he'd been given by chasing a flea. He was souring his sweetness by chasing a flea. He was defeating his victory. How? By chasing a flea. He was shooting a sparrow using a cannon. He was running over an ant with a tank. He's fighting a mouse while riding an elephant. What a waste. Chasing a flea. Isn't the Bible interesting? Isn't the Bible an interesting book? Saul, what are you doing? I'm chasing a flea. Do you not have bigger and better things to do? I'm chasing this flea. Don't you have a kingdom to run? I'm chasing a flea. Have you ever noticed that the fleas of life sometimes get the best of us? You ever notice how one little fly can bother the fire out of you? Brother Butch, if our guest comes back in, just have them sit there in the back when they come back in. You ever get a pebble in your shoe or in your sock? Tell you what, I was walking through the airport one day, and somehow I got a little pebble in my sock. And I mean, I walked on it and walked on it, and I tried to get it in between my toes, and I tried to man it out and tough it out, and I just couldn't get it. And I popped my shoe off real quick, and I thought, that'll do it. And I put my shoe back on, and I couldn't get it. Finally, I sat down, and I untied my shoe. I took my sock off. I got that pebble out of there. It had to be done. That pebble was ruining my whole day. You ever had a pebble in your shoe? You ever had an eyelash in your eye? One dumb little eyelash. And what it can do to you. You know, if the devil can't get us using the big sins of life, I think he'll try to use the fleas of life to get us. I'll put it this way. I'm a self-proclaimed perfectionist. Well, I've got to be careful that I don't spend my life chasing fleas. I'll never get anything done. Right. Let me talk to you about chasing fleas. Chasing fleas in your life. Do you chase fleas here at the church? Do you nitpick so much you don't see the big things God is doing around here? Good. Are you a flea chaser? Well, you can grab a hold of some dumb little thing and, boy, you can just go after it. All the time you're missing the great and powerful things that God's doing in this place. You've got your own little gripe. You spend more time thinking about that, talking about that, worrying about that, spreading your news about that, and all the magnificent things that are happening here, and you are busy chasing your flea. Is that you? Hey, did you chase fleas at the kids' crusade this week? Was it a late night or a little uncomfortable for you somehow? But because you chased your flea, you missed the fact that 154 people got saved? You're busy using your energy chasing a flea? So it was a little inconvenient the way things were handled here on Wednesday night. Were you chasing a flea on Wednesday night and missed the whole thing? Missed the whole fact that there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people here? Did you miss it? Were you busy chasing a flea and missed the fact that 2,561 people heard the Word of God taught between Monday and Friday night here? Did you miss it? What happened? Were you chasing a flea? Young people back here, pay attention. Stop writing. Stop playing. Look right this way. Did you see a bit of graffiti on a restroom wall? And that's just eating at you. How could anybody do that? I'm not for that, by the way. I think that's wrong. I think it's a sin, and I think it's a crime, destroying somebody else's property. But wait a minute. Did you notice all the walls without graffiti? Did you notice any of the fresh paint? Are you one of those flea people? I mean, you can zero in on something and it becomes the biggest issue of life. Are you put out about a bus breakdown? That bus broke down. I saw a bus broke down. Did you miss the fact that this year we brought about 10,000 people in on our buses already? Because you were bothered by a flea that came into the ministry? I think we've had about 4 or 5 bus breakdowns in 37 months. We have a phenomenal maintenance program. We work very hard to make our buses first class and make them right. But you know what happens? Some people get a little pebble in their shoe. They get that little flea of life. Did you see a piece of trash blowing out there on the church lot? You just feel like that needs to be taken care of. Or you saw a place where we missed trimming with the weed whacker. That's just eating at you. Let me ask you, did you happen to notice the other 31 9/10 acres that is perfectly groomed? Did you stop to count how many pieces of trash were not on our lot? Are you a flea chaser? Hey, did an employee of the church not go out of their way to greet you like you wanted? You're all bent out of shape about that. What's wrong with them? They're rude around here. Now that is far from the truth, but you're a flea chaser. But you didn't notice the hundreds of other people they did greet, and you didn't notice the reason why they might have walked past you in a hurry. It's because they're busy helping somebody else and serving somebody else, because you're a flea chaser. A flea chaser. Are you a flea chaser around the church? It's amazing how we could find one little thing and we let it like that pebble in the shoe. It's like it was said of Saul. Saul had much bigger things to do, and there were bigger things going on, and he had a kingdom to run. And here he is, chasing fleas. Chasing fleas. Do you chase fleas at work? You know, why is it when we go to work, we want to look at what we don't have in regard to the place of employment instead of looking at what we do have? You say, well, I only got 40 hours this week. Oh, well, you did get 40, didn't you? You do have a job, don't you? But we're flea chasers, aren't we? Flea chasers are the people always looking for the little negative in life. Always looking for that thing, and they want to make a mountain out of the molehill. They want to turn a flea into a vulture, if you will. Always looking for that little thing. You have one fellow employee that's a little contrary. So that's all you see. You're miserable at work because of one person that you spend 3 minutes a day with. And everybody else at work is miserable with you all day long because you're miserable about that one flea. One little flea. Your flea blinds you to the many other decent people that you might work with. So you didn't get a raise, all right? There's your flea. Now, what's going to happen to your attitude at work and your productivity at work? What's going to happen? Now, you didn't notice because you were so busy chasing your one little flea, you forgot that you got Christmas paid off. You forgot that they gave you some insurance. You forgot they paid you for some sick days. They gave you a paid coffee break. They gave you Thanksgiving Day and another day paid. You forgot they gave you some vacation. And they gave you a Christmas bonus. They gave you some overtime. And they matched your Social Security investment. They helped to feed your family. They trained you to do your job. But you see the flea down at work, don't you? What, how many of you will blow it at a good job because you're a flea chaser? You can't find anything big to gripe about, so you gripe about all the little fleas. Do you chase fleas at work? Flea chasers are people that struggle and they suffer from a thing called ingratitude. They gravitate toward the negative instead of looking for the positives that God makes available in our life. Do you chase fleas around the church? Do you chase fleas at work? Do you chase fleas with your mate? What little thing are you allowing to destroy your marriage? Well, he won't use a coaster. Oh, I think you should kill him. Now, somebody sure enough will, and I'll go to prison forever for influencing you. doing is destroying the peace in your home. Well, she won't screw the lid back on the ketchup jar when she's done with it. He doesn't turn off the lights when he leaves the restroom. Ladies, stop driving your husband in the ground over the fleas of life. Hey, does he go to work?
Mm-hmm.
He pay for the electricity?
Yeah.
The water?
Uh-huh.
Trash pickup?
Sure.
Pay for a car? Yes. Insurance for that car?
Uh-huh.
Comes to church?
Sure.
Tries to serve God?
Yes.
Provides food?
Uh-huh.
Hey, I wonder if you took the time, you might just find out. It's not as bad as what you think, but you know what we'll do? We'll chase the fleas in life. If the devil, and I'll say this again in a little while, if the devil can't destroy your marriage off of what we call the big things of life, he'll just tear you up by giving you fleas. You pick at this and pick at that and pick at this and pick at that till everybody at home is miserable as you pick, 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 pick. What flea is destroying you? What ant in life is overpowering you? What gnat is magnified beyond being reasonable? What little thing is too big in your life? You men, stop driving your wife in the ground over the fleas that show up in life. Won't you stop and realize she loves you? She cooks for you. She cleans your house and helps you, in some cases, pay the bills and helps with the laundry and watches the children. So a meal is served late and you're a tyrant and World War III breaks out. Did you praise her 3 times a day for every meal that was on time? You just gravitate toward the negative and the bomb blows up and you attack the minute the little flea pops out in life. You know, if the devil can't destroy your marriage with the so-called big things, then what he's going to do is he's going to get us chasing fleas. Let's not chase fleas around the church. Let's not chase fleas at work. Let's not chase fleas in our marriages. Do you chase fleas in regard to your children? You know, most of the children that are a part of this church are good kids. Will you drive them in the ground over the fleas? Now, young people, I think mom and dad want what's best for you. I think mom and dad are trying to teach you some character. I think mom and dad are trying to teach you some integrity. I think mom and dad are trying to keep you pure and get you to do right. And I am not giving you a justification to think anything about mom and dad, but mom and dad, be careful. Sometimes we can go after the fleas in life. We hurt ourselves. Will you drive your children in the ground over the fleas of life? Will you expect perfection from a child who's been trained by an imperfect trainer? You throw a fit over the smallest of issues. Do you blow up the ticks of life with an atom bomb in your child's life? Do you run over the mites that show up with a bulldozer? Do you light their birthday candles of failure with a flamethrower? We can get that way. We can get to the point where we just pick and pick and pick and pick. Well, let me point something out to you. Most of the young people, the teenagers and the younger ones in this church, they're not on drugs. They don't listen to rock and roll. They don't steal. They don't drink booze. They know there's not to be sex out of wedlock, and they're staying pure and clean and virgin, and they're not on probation, and they come to church, and they go soul winning, and they work on a bus route, and they come to Sunday school, and they go to King's Kids, and they go to Young Fundamentalists, and they go to Martinsburg Christian Academy and keep the rules. They sit down front. They set up. Pay attention. And if we can't find anything big, let's just pick them to death about the little things. Stop and realize if they're doing good, tell them about it. Praise them for it. You know something? If you'll rub a dog's belly, he'll come around more often. I think sometimes we get consumed in the character training and the intense training of spiritual things. And so we're constantly looking for failures. And I know it comes out of a sincere heart of love, but wait a minute. Let's start constantly looking for successes. Because they need to be told when they do right. Some of you are driving a wedge between you and your child over a flea. A flea. A flea of life is separating you from your teenager. Don't let fleas break down your communication between you and your kids. The little boy said to his dad, he said, "Daddy, are fleas good to eat?" Dad said, "No." "Why in the world would you ask me a question like that?" The little boy said, "Well, there was one in your salad, but it's gone now." Good advice too late, huh? Saul, what a mighty, powerful leader. And the ancient proverb said, "A king chasing fleas." Let's be careful that we don't fall into the same trap that the mighty CEO of a nation fell into, chasing the fleas of life. We can chase fleas at our church and chase fleas at work and chase fleas at our marriages and chase fleas with our children. I would request of you that you're careful not to chase fleas with the preaching. Don't let one little thing you don't like run you off to some liberal church in the area. People are dumb bunnies. I don't know, a dumb bunny in the Bible somewhere. Dumb bunnies. They can agree with my preaching on 99 issues. One thing is preached that they don't want to live, so they'll leave the church and go to some church where they disagree with half of what the preacher preaches. My, oh my. Do you search through my sermons just trying to find some little disagreement so you can add it to your list? You got a flea list going, don't you? There's another one. Maybe by this time next year I'll find something else that I just don't think he's exactly down the line on. What little thing in my preaching has blinded you to the big thing God's trying to do in your life? But you're so busy chasing that one little flea. I said something, it's got in your craw, you've never forgotten it, you reject half of everything else it's said because of that one thing. What is it? What comes to your mind? What issue is such a big issue to you, but it's not to anybody else? What's the deal? What's the flea in your life? Are you waiting for some flea to pop up so you can add it to your list of criticisms? What about my delivery is causing you not to get God's delivery of truth? The fleas of life. Boy, we get busy chasing fleas. We do. We're good at it. All of us are good at it. Right now, you ought to be saying, "You know what? I'm a flea chaser myself, Brother Owens." Hey, young people, do you chase fleas in regard to your parents? Do you nitpick at them? You know something you're going to find out, young people? Now, right now, those of you that are in your teenage years, you pretty well know everything. And I realize that. You don't need any advice. You don't need anybody to tell you anything. You pretty well have it all down. But something's going to happen. Your brain is going to transform a little more. You're going to go through reverse transformation in a few years. Suddenly you're going to go from knowing everything to realizing you didn't know as much as what you thought, and Dad was not as stupid as what you thought. And the preacher was not as dumb as what you thought. Mom was not as dumb as what you thought. There's going to come a day when you're going to wake up and say, "My dad's a genius." You pick at Mom and Dad. You look at these little faults and the little things that you don't like. Is all you notice the things that you don't like about your mom? I challenge every young person in here to sit down and draw up a list of all the good things about your mom. It'll so far outweigh your little list. Yeah. Maybe it'll snap you back into reality. You better honor your mom and dad.
Amen.
What is it about your dad that you don't like? You say, "Brother Owens, he wears the goofiest sports jackets in the world." I'm sorry. I've seen him. You're right. He does. But thank God, He comes to church and wears that goofy jacket. Amen?
Amen.
And he's feeding the family and taking care of you, and he loves you, and your mama went into the jaws of death to give birth to you. Stop nitpicking. Stop looking at your mom's faults and your daddy's faults and what you don't like about them. There is a tremendous irreverence in a child that goes around talking about what they don't like about mom and dad. It's raw. You will not find anyone that's ever heard me criticize my dad. No one on the face of this earth. You will not find it. You say, was your dad always right? No, but my dad was always my dad. And I learned a long time ago on to respect my daddy. You say, well, why didn't you criticize him? He would have beat me to death. Ha, but young people, are you chasing fleas? Let me tell you something, it could be worse. You better stop chasing the fleas of your disagreements with your mom and dad. Hey, I'll tell you something. The day that you see your daddy laying in a hope chest that we call a coffin, the day you see that you'll never again be able to have a conversation with him, the day you see that he no longer moves, you'll wish that all the fleas of life had been pushed out of your life and you would have respected him and loved him and kept the line of communication open. You'll find many a person that grieves that they allowed the fleas of life to separate them from their mom and their dad.
Right.
Young people, don't you let it happen. Don't chase the fleas of life, young people. Don't chase the fleas of life in regard to your everyday life. Do you say at the end of every day, well, I don't think I accomplished anything today? Think now. Are you a housewife? What do you get done in a day? What do you do with your day? Teenager, what are you doing with your life? What could you say at the end of tomorrow? What would you say? What did you do? What did you accomplish? Well, I made it to a new level. If you're not careful, you're going to be spastic before you're an adult. Hey, is your everyday life productive? Do you waste your day on trivial, unimportant things? Have you ever noticed? How many days do you put it off again? How long are you going to wait to finally start getting some of those things done that you keep saying, oh, I got to get this done. Oh, I got to get that done. Oh, I got to get this done. Oh, I got to get that done. Well, get up and get it done. We're too busy chasing fleas, aren't we? How many times do you look back over a day and say, what in the world did I accomplish today? Where has the day gone? I'll tell you where. Chasing fleas. Hey, do little things keep you away from reading your Bible? Tell me, what's more important to your spiritual health than the Bible? Well, I got to reading the newspaper and the sports page, and the fleas of life have kept you from reading the Bible. When you should have been talking to God, you were listening to some talk show host on television, another flea of life, many of which have their armpits infested by fleas. I don't have anything good to offer you.
Right.
Bunch of secular humanism.
Yeah.
So we live our day and we get nothing done. Why? Because of the fleas of life. Hey, let me challenge those of you that are detail-minded. Are you so detail-minded that you never get anything done? You're a perfectionist that perfects very little. Very little. It's got to be just right. Good. You're going to do just one of them in 80 years? But people say, Brother Owens, how in the world do you get so much done? Well, I bet sure don't spend my life chasing fleas. I've got to figure out what is most important in life, and I've got to give those things priority. We get to chasing fleas. Don't waste your life, folks, chasing fleas. Stop chasing. Hey, those of you that serve God, don't chase fleas. Hey, will you chase fleas with Martinsburg Christian Academy? What little thing that you disagree with us on will cause you to pull your children out of a fantastic Christian school? What flea? What's your flea? Sometimes sit down and draw up a little list about Martinsburg Christian Academy. All the teachers attend church 3 times a week. They're all soul winners. They all live the standards that we teach the children to write. There's no drugs, no booze, no immorality. There's a dress code there. It's biblically based, and it's got a biblically based curriculum. The academics, we're rated 2 to 6 grades above the public schools in our academic accomplishments. Our coaches go to church, and they're bus captains. They love the Lord, and they know that God and church is more important than sports. They're not humanistic in their philosophy. We don't distribute birth control devices. Our principal is a prayer warrior that's a fireball preacher. We have a King James Bible. We teach them to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and please, and thank you, and to stand in the presence of their elders. There's no fornication at all tolerated. The boys keep their hair cut. The boys are not to wear jewelry like a woman. They can't wear earrings or necklaces. We do not teach evolution, not even as a theory. It's a lie. Sodomy is a sin. No rock and roll music, no country music. Virginity is the norm. Respect to authority is a must. Children are loved and protected every day of your life. Now, what's your flea about our school?
Now, there's this one little thing
that you have it blown so far out of proportion. It's pathetic. Do you chase fleas? Do you chase fleas with some Christian in our church? Who do you dislike? What little thing about them has just rubbed you raw emotionally? Hope I don't see her in the hallway. She doesn't sit in our section of pews. Hope they don't ask me to go soul winning with him. What little habit of another is eating you alive? What ant is bigger than you in somebody else's life? Have you let some little difference that you have with someone else come between you and them? It's ruined your attitude about coming to church. It's something, if you'd list the positive attributes of whoever that person is, I'm sure you could get over this flea in your life. Hey, what little thing's going to keep you from serving God? What little thing will keep you from being used by God? You've got something in your life that needs to be changed, it needs to be taken out, but you're going to allow that flea to run wild, and because of it, God's not going to use you. What habit? Tell me, what's your habit? What little piddly, nuisance animal's flea is going to keep you from doing something great for God? What can't you conquer? What little, tiny, minute thing? What is it that God would ask of you that you're not willing to do to be used of God? Would you be willing to say to God, God, anything to be used? You know what the hang-ups usually are? Little flea. Just some dumb little flea. Hey, do you chase fleas that get you off track from the primary duties of a Christian? So what are the primary duties? I'll tell you, one of the primary duties is winning other people to Jesus Christ. You are a bigger supporter of the Humane Society than you are soul winning. You know, dogs have rights too. Goldfish are people. Save the whales, but never tell anybody about Jesus Christ. You care more for Fido than you do lost people. You spend more time talking to to Fluffy than you do lost people about Jesus. It's amazing. You say you against dogs? No. You against cats? No. I'm for dogs having cats. No, I'm not against cats. I'm not against dogs. I'm not against pets. I am against this philosophy that makes a pet more important than the souls of men. Oh, yeah. They'll spend millions of dollars to save the whales. And they think we're ridiculous because someone like Brother Young wants to spend his life serving on the mission field, winning souls. We get to chase some fleas. I don't want our church to ever get off track. We're going to keep on chasing the souls of men around here. We're going to keep on running those buses, and we're going to keep on supporting those missionaries. We're going to keep on doing that. We don't want to get off track. Hey, listen, I'm against sodomy, and sodomy is a sin, but our church is never going to stop winning souls to go fight the sodomite issue. We can preach against it, and we'll stand against it, but one of the best things we can do is just keep winning souls. I think there need to be some born-again Christians that help to lead our country politically, if you will, but we're never going to get off track. We're going to keep on winning souls. We're not going to go campaigning instead of going soul winning. The fleas. Hey, are you saved? What flea is keeping you from getting saved? What's that one little thing that just keeps you from getting saved? Have you followed the Lord in believers' baptism after your salvation? What's the flea that's keeping you from getting baptized? Have you made public your salvation? Have you let the people know that you got saved? Or is there a flea that's holding you back? Who here needs to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ because you've been away from Him, but there's some flea, the flea of embarrassment or the flea of what would somebody think? What flea is keeping you from doing it? You need to join the church. What flea is keeping you from joining this church? The ancient proverb said this, Saul the king is busy chasing fleas. I hope that we could all learn a little lesson from this thing. Let's not waste our lives chasing fleas.